Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hi, good to have you along. I'm Neil Stavem. Ed Ross controls, Carissa Rogers at the phones. Looking forward to having a good hour this hour, and you're welcome to join in. We're going to talk money today. Ted, you know, the top New Year's resolutions for 2017, they've been the same for the past several years. Mm-hmm. Lose weight, healthier eating, that's number one. Second is sort of life and self-improvements. Mm-hmm. And the third is better financial decisions.
Yeah, and what time of year is it right
sure,
now?
By the second week in February, some 80% of those resolutioners are back home with a new kind of remorse, staring them back in the mirror, the remorse of disappointment.
Yeah. That can really spiral down for people. I mean, if you've gotten off track, we're here to offer hope today because you can always reset, right?
That's right. We're going to do that. In fact, recommendation online, there's a couple things you can do is think small. You begin with small successes. You build self-trust. Once you get used to making small things happen, you recognize and embrace the truth that what I say to myself is what I do. Mm. And you invent challenges, which I thought was good, you know, that you don't allow yourself to procrastinate. So make yourself finish your paperwork before you turn on the TV or those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then cultivate optimism. So I think we'll have some optimism today. Speaking of optimism, today, the anniversary of the birth of Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
Born February 6, 1911. I just thought we'd share a couple of quotes before we get to our guest today. Reagan said, you know, you don't have to spend much time in Washington to appreciate the prophetic vision of the man who designed all the streets. They go in circles.
Yeah.
Yeah. The most terrifying words in the English language, Reagan said, are, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. And Republicans believe every day is the 4th of July. Democrats believe every day is April 15. So. And this is one of my favorites. Reagan said, government is like a baby. An elementary canal with a big appetite at one end and no sense of responsibility at the other.
Yeah, he had several.
I will do that. All right. Let's get to today's conversation. By the way, we're going to open up the phone lines right away as we talk with a certified financial planner. You have some money questions. Maybe you're in the midst of that. We'd love to have you join in with us. Here's our phone number. It's 877-933-2400. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or if you have a question you want to submit it online, sometimes that's easier to do. Maybe depending on where you are, you can just go to myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you could submit your question there. Myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith. So let me introduce our guest, Steve Repack, certified financial planner, financial literacy speaker, as Army veteran, author of several books, including Dollars and Uncommon Sense, Basic Training for Your Money, and 6-Week Money Challenge for Your Personal Finances. And he's a frequent guest on various media outlets. We're grateful to have him back with us here on Connecting Faith. Steve, good to have you on. How are you doing today?
Hey, Neil. Thanks for having me back on. I really appreciate it.
We're just talking a little bit about at the beginning about New Year's resolutions. By this time, 80% of us have kind of bailed on those. And since they generally relate to better money management, we're probably in a little trouble right now. Do you have any words of encouragement before we kind of get started with the 6-week money challenge?
Yeah, and that's the truth is that the reality is that 80% of the people that have made a resolution, they basically give up by Valentine's Day. And so it's like, you know, you think of, you know, you get off a track and you know, I'm just not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. It's like it has to come down to like lifestyle changes. And I think a lot of times many people just fail because they make their challenges too hard or they're not really committed or they know how to do it. But the problem comes down to is why to do it. And if you can get people to understand the why portion of it more so than the how, then, you know, I think that they will, you know, stick closer to their resolutions.
We'll talk why and how during today's show. But, you know, your latest book's called The 6-Week Money Challenge, but I'm thinking probably most of us face a money challenge every day. You've been there, too. Share a bit about your story.
Yeah, and I always talk about, you know, those without sin cast the first stone, and I was just terrible with money. You know, I spent 12 years active duty Army. I left the military. All I had to show for it was $30,000 worth of credit card debt. You know, I lived paycheck to paycheck. I had nothing in savings, and I accumulated a bunch of debt. And what the sad part is that being in the military, everything was paid for, my food, my clothes, my housing, my medical. But I just know I accumulated all of that debt. And, you know, God had a sense of humor because he opened the door for finances. So here I was fresh out of the Army with $32,000 worth of credit card debt. And my job was to help other people with their finances. So it's like I'm like one of those people that it's when I talk the talk, I mean, I've walked the walk. I mean, I know exactly what it feels like to struggle and have that stress of debt, you know, debt that's hanging over your head. And I speak from firsthand experience.
Is there something about 6 weeks? Is it just because it kind of takes that long to get through all the basics of better money decisions, or is there something about just hanging in there for a month and a half?
You know, the truth is I wrote an article talking about the New Year's resolutions, like 80% of people give up by Valentine's Day. That's actually like 6 weeks. It usually takes 6 weeks for people to break bad habits and start new habits. And, you know, and the 6 week also coincides with, it's kind of like the military with me being back, you know, from in the Army days. You know, I went through basic training, and that's what it comes down to, is that you change people's behaviors. You got to give them little steps. And if you make the thing too long, if you said, okay, it's the 52-week money challenge. A lot of people just, they're like, they'll look at that and they'll say, oh my gosh, I don't even want to even try something like that. But if you can keep something little and small, like 6 weeks, you know, people are able to say, okay, you know what, that doesn't sound that bad. If I can just, you know, do these challenges each week, and then after 6 weeks, my finances, you know, hopefully are better. You know, I think that gives people more encouragement than trying to overwhelm them all at once.
Well, I'm just wondering, if your plan's like boot camp, is that something that we're going to willingly submit to? Because I'm not sure that, you know, I want to really join up. I mean, I appreciate your service, Steve, but I'm not sure that I'm looking for 6 weeks of boot camp.
Yeah, that's, you know, like I said, it sounds tough, but it's flexible. Is that, you know, through each, you know, each week of the book, you know, each week I give the reader challenges. And so I give them four challenges that I would like them to complete. And then I have the reader develop their own challenge. So it makes it specific for that person. And like with anything in life, there's going to be certain things that are going to come easy and certain things that are going to be harder. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not what we know, it's what we do. If we can, you know, if I can start tracking my expenditures, you know, if I can sit there and start putting money away, if I can quit using the credit cards, it's not these big, you know, I have to give everything up to get my finances straight. It's these little things, these little behaviors that we just kind of do automatically every day. If we can just change them, you know, we're going to be on a better road to financial health.
Was there a turning point for you that changed your direction? I mean, you talked about, you know, coming out of the Army, everything was paid for, and you still had a pile of debt. What was the turning point or the tipping point?
So the first thing is that I think it was the people that I worked with, is that when I first got out of the military and I started working with these, I call them wealth builders, and it was from my first book, The 6 Week Money Challenge, The Dollars and Uncommon Sense, is that I would meet with people, and I call them wealth builders, and they were just regular people. They were people that worked at Walmart, retired military, school teachers, people that didn't make a lot of money, but they were able to save a lot of money, and they all had these common traits. And like I said, when I was growing up, I thought the only people that were successful or that had money were people like doctors and attorneys, or you had to win the lottery. And my money mindset was just totally messed up. And once I figured out that, hey, you know, it's not how much money you make, it's how much money you spend and save that determines what you have, you know, once I started getting that, changing that mindset, you know, my finances eventually came around.
Steve Repak's my guest today, certified financial planner, financial literacy speaker, a veteran and author. We're talking about the 6 week money challenge. We've gone 6 weeks here into the year 2017, and you may have a challenge that you're trying to overcome when it comes to money. Give us a call and join in at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. We're going to dive in more deeply in the moments ahead. But, Steve, I know that you base your money challenge and all that you talk about is based on what God's Word has to say about financial matters. And it says more than talks more about that than prayer or healing or mercy. So maybe give us a little background first about what God's Word has to say as kind of a bedrock for our conversation.
You know, it's like one of those things is that with my first book, I call it, it was a secular book. But what was so fascinating was that I was on the 700 Club and I was writing for all these Christian blogs. And it was one of those things that I felt God moving me like in a different direction. And that's where I came up with the 6-week money challenge, because I wanted to have something. I always hear people were saying, Steve, you know, is there something, you know, that, you know, Dave Ramsey's program is a great program, and but it's expensive. And is there something that's maybe even shorter? And I just kept on hearing that time after time after time again, and like I said, I just felt God, he's opened up all these doors for me, and that's what kind of basically led me to, you know, put together the 6-week money challenge. And like I said, it's just a lot of times is we think of money as a taboo, and at the end of the day is that money is not going to buy you happiness, but it gives us choices, and God wants us to be a good steward. And a lot of times we kind of misquote stuff or thinking that, okay, I need a, you know, if I save money, that's a sin. And basically I try to tell people with the mindset of that, you know, if you manage your assets properly and you're a good steward, you're just more effective in ministry. I mean, if you don't have credit card debt, I'll just give a prime example. You don't have credit card debt, I mean, you're going to be a better parent, you know, a better spouse, a better worker, and you're going to definitely make better decisions that are honoring to God. And like I said, it's, you know, I can give people a bunch of formulas, and that's good, but when you really dive into the stuff and say, hey, you know, what does God really say about money, and why does God want you to be a good steward, and why should we honor? And that kind of gets people to say, okay, that's why I do this stuff. And I think that's the angle that I went at with this book.
All right, we're going to dive in a moment. In more detail, we'll talk spending, saving, giving, all that as we talk financial matters, making better financial decisions. Reviewing the 6-week money challenge, Steve Repak is a certified financial planner, a speaker, and veteran, and he's authored several books, including Dollars and Uncommon Sense, Basic Training for Your Money, and the 6-week money challenge for your personal finances. You have a question? Join in, 877-933-2484. We're talking money today, and maybe there's an issue that you have a question about. You're welcome. The phone lines are open, 877-933-2484.
It's a place in your radio dial for hope.
God is able to deal with it. His grace is sufficient for you.
There's a war between guilt and grace.
It is like the fish to the river, the mouse to the granaries, the breathing to the entire atmosphere of the universe. So is the ratio of the grace of God to each of his children.
Connecting faith to life. Faith Radio.
Talking financial matters today on Connecting Faith. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. And talking to Steve Repak, certified financial planner and a veteran and author. We're reviewing his 6-week money challenge for your personal finances. We also want to take your calls. And before we dive into some of the basics, we're going to take Julie's call. Julie has a question about, in fact, she has a meeting with a financial planner today. So, Steve, you can give some additional advice. Hi, awesome. Julie, go ahead.
Hello there.
Go ahead.
Actually, I'm the financial planner type person that I'm sitting with. Our county has asked me to help this gentleman with his finances, and I have done the Dave Ramsey and everything, and I agree it's long, it's expensive. So where would I'm thinking of starting out with just the yellow pad theory of starting out writing his bills down, which he has never done.
Julie, your phone sort of cut out a little bit there. So you said you're thinking about just getting out a yellow pad, is that what you said?
Yep, starting with his bills, smallest to largest, and getting out a yellow pad to find out how deep in debt he is. And just starting from there.
Okay, so you're meeting with someone today. Steve, what would you recommend to give her some advice to counsel?
Yeah, that's a great course of action, because that's your spending decisions. I mean, every one of your financial decisions all revolve around how much money you're spending. And I think a lot of times if you sit down with people and ask them how much money are they spending, you know, if you ask people how much they make, 99% of people know exactly how much they make, but what they don't know is how much money they spend. And they can probably account for maybe 80% of their spending. And I always kind of joke around with people saying that, hey, if your boss was only paying you 80% of what you're supposed to be making, you'd be pretty upset about it. And so if we're, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, why is somebody in debt, or why did, you know, they need to save more, the first thing we have to do is we have to identify where they're spending. So that's a great, you know, a great first step to go to, is that, you know, where are you spending your money? And I always, you know, I tell people to track their expenditures for at least 2 weeks and just write down every time they spend money. And, you know, a lot of times, like I said, we have money in our pocket, we spend it without even thinking about it. But once you start writing this stuff down, you know, you can really say, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe I'm spending so much money at the coffee place, or I'm getting, you know, I'm spending so much on this or that. But, you know, once you write it down and once you identify where you're spending your money, then you can actually formulate a plan to reduce it. And a lot of times is that what we do is we try to make things too hard. Like, for example, if I say at the beginning of the year that, you know, I want to lose a few pounds and my New Year's resolution is that I'm never going to have dessert ever again, I mean, it's not realistic. So you have to make realistic goals. And part of that with their spending, it's okay to waste a little bit. You know, even God rested on the seventh day, and God wants us to enjoy the toils of our hard work. So it's okay to waste a little bit. But a lot of times, it's people, they're wasting too much, or you know, they just, like, they just don't know exactly where they're spending it. So I think that's a great place to start, is that, hey, you know, what exactly are you spending? And once we figure out where you're spending, then we can figure out where we can cut out. And then once we cut out, then we can decide, okay, we need to put X amount towards savings, X amount towards debt, X amount towards retirement. And the first thing we need to be doing is X amount towards God, because, like I said, that's, we have to get our money priorities right. And if we can honor God with our spending decisions, which means that, you know, I give first, I mean, that just kind of reprioritizes everything, is that hey, you know, it all belongs to God, and God just blesses us with it, and we just have to make sure that we give it back. And that's just to acknowledge. It's no magic formula that, oh, my God, God is going to put like magic manna that's going to fall on me. But it's just by honoring God, saying, hey, you know, everything belongs to you, I'm going to give it, you know, give a portion back to you. I mean, that just kind of gets people on the right mindset. And like I said, it's not a formula, it's more of why are we doing this stuff, you know. And if we can figure out why we're doing it, and if you can motivate the person why they should be doing it, like, so they just, they could be more, they're not going to be one of those 80% that gives up the New Year's resolutions by February 14th.
You talk, say that savings should be maybe a higher priority than getting out of debt, at least when you first get started. Is that right?
Yeah, and it doesn't make financial sense. And I say this in my book. I say it when I'm out there speaking, is that the cure for greed is to give. And I'm saying that people are greedy, but you need to give. And the cure for debt is savings. And people say, well, Steve, that doesn't make any sense, because my credit card's charging me 18% and my savings account is not paying me anything. And what do you mean that I need to save first? And the problem is that once we're trying to get out of debt, what always happens, it's almost like the enemy sabotaging us. There's always something that comes out. Either you got to get a new set of tires, your brakes go bad, your, you know, your pet swallows a golf ball. Something happens, and if we don't have money in savings, then we have to turn back to credit cards. And that's what happened to me, is that I was I had to get out of debt plan, and I'd be going great, and then all of a sudden something bad would happen, and then I didn't have any money in savings, and so then I'd have to put it back on a credit card. So I tell people at the minimum is that you should make minimum payments on your credit cards until you have $500 of savings built up at a minimum. And then once you have your $500 built up in savings, then you can start paying more towards debt, because you can't make the minimum payments on your credit cards forever, or you'll be in debt forever.
Steve Repak's with us today, talking financial planning and financial advice. We'll take another call. Yvonne's calling in from Lake Park. Thanks for listening, Yvonne. You're on with Steve Repak. Go ahead.
Hi, this is questions kind of my daughter. She's a single mom and Marine, and maybe that's why she owes $20,000 on a credit card debt, and she doesn't have a lot of savings, and she's going to get some tax money back, and she wanted to know if she should put her tax money towards a credit card, or should she put it in savings. And I know the question above you before me was kind of similar, but I don't know.
Okay. That's a great question.
And for me, is like I said, a lot of times when we make decisions, they're not always the best financial decisions, but they're the best decisions. And I'll give you a prime example. If you said, Steve, I'm going to get $1,000 back on my tax refund, I would come up with a formula. I'm going to give a portion of that to God, and to just to sit there and glorify God. That, hey, God, I got this tax refund. I'm going to give you your fair share. And after you do that, then you're going to put a little bit more money towards savings. Then you're going to put some towards debt, and then you're going to take some and maybe waste it. And now this, you say, hey, Steve, my gosh, my daughter's in credit card debt, and you're saying waste it. Is that, like I said, you got to have balance in your life. Set your priorities, which is God is your priority. So we're going to give a portion to God. We're going to put a portion of it in savings just because that's the antidote for debt, is I got to have money in savings. Then I'm going to put some towards debt, and then it's okay to spend a little. And maybe you can sit there and use like the 10-10-10 rule, is that you give 10%, you save 10%, you waste 10%, and put the rest of it towards debt.
And I guess that probably works at a level from earliest age on, right? I mean, if we think about our kids with allowance, I mean, that's what we're trying to teach them, right? That you give some, and you can spend some.
Yeah, and it's not rocket scientists. And a lot of times is that if we can start people off right, I mean, we talk about giving. That's one of those things that it really – gosh, it's like when you're at church and you hear the pastor talking about tithing and stuff, and people just get upset about it. And a lot, some people get upset about it. And it's like one of those things is that I believe that you should give. And a lot of times people, let's give an example of a single mom. The single mom just can't afford to give 10%, and maybe they give 1%. And I would say that something is better than nothing, and God will honor that also, because God doesn't care about how much you give. God cares about how you give. Like, he wants to be, a cheerful giver anonymously. That's the kind of traits that God wants you to be. And like I said, it's just getting people on the right behaviors, because the secret to personal finance is I have to learn how to spend less. And if I can learn how to spend less, that means I can give more, I can save more, and I'm going to be able to put enough away for retirement so one day that I can retire. Because retirement isn't an if question, it's just a when question.
And that sounds so simple, but just spending less, that really is the secret, isn't it?
It is. And like I said, it comes down to accountability, because we all fall short and we all need an accountability partner. And, it could be a finance person that's keeping track of your expenditures, or you might just have someone that's that you're going to church with, or a family member or friend that they just have their money together. And a lot of times we just need that encouragement to keep us on track. Sometimes we need a swift kick in the butt when we're really off track. But we need to have people to hold us accountable. And I think the same thing, if I want to lose weight, or if I want a better marriage, or if I want to be a better parent, we just learn from others. And, I talk about with the church is that, that's what the church is there for, is that you have other believers that are holding you accountable, that are keeping you on track. Everybody has their strengths. Everybody also has weaknesses. And we're supposed to be able to have others to help us with our weaknesses. And like I said, if you have a spending problem where you're having issues, sit down with a financial planner, or I need somebody at church is really good with money, and they're teaching a financial small group. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and attend it. And if the more good stuff that you do, it says your behaviors will start to change. But like I said, you just can't make things too drastic. Like, for example, I'm not going to have fun anymore. I'm going to cut out all my cable. I'm going to throw away my cell phone. I mean, that stuff isn't realistic. So you have to take those little baby steps. It's just like giving. For people that have never given before, I recommend starting off something small, like 1% or $10. And as your faith grows, your giving will grow. And like I said, there's a lot of people that they give 10% and they don't miss it. But sometimes, they need to give more. The people that give more usually end up having more.
Talking more with Steve Repack in just a moment. Steve's certified financial planner, a financial literacy speaker, a veteran, and author of several books, including Dollars and Uncommon Sense, Basic Training for Your Money, and 6-Week Money Challenge. Taking your calls at 877-933-2484. Love to have you join in. 877-93-FAITH with your financial questions for Steve Repack. And there's more coming up in a moment. That God does know what our needs are, and he cares for them, right? The Father knows what you need. And he's promised that he will give us all that we need from day to day if we make the kingdom of God our primary concern. Talking about what the Bible has to say about money, financial matters, with Steve Repack. Steve is a certified financial planner, author of several books, including 6-Week Money Challenge for your personal finances. And our phone lines are open for your questions today with Steve at 877-93-FAITH. Steve, you know, we all have lots of choices to make, and making wise choices with our finances seems like that's kind of a key area. Are there some tips for being wiser in our choices and how we're spending the money we have?
Yeah, like I said, I think the first one is that, you know, we have to understand why we want our finances better. I mean, we think of the selfish reasons, like, okay, I want less stress, I want more stuff. But like I said, the reason why we want to be good with our finances, be a good steward, just so we're more effective in ministry, we can be more effective. And so we have to understand that. And like I said, just understand basic concept that money is not going to buy me happiness, money is not going to buy me choices. And like I said, and at the end of the day, it's once we die, our money is going to go to somewhere else. But once we got the why we're doing this stuff is that, you know, the key thing is, number one, is I have to be able to spend less. I mean, that's the cornerstone of personal finance. If you don't get that concept right, it doesn't matter any other. It doesn't matter anything else. You have to get that first concept is that I have to learn how to spend less. And the way that we spend less is that we need to be able to track our expenditures. We got to know exactly what we're making and exactly know how much we're spending. And once we figure out what we're spending, that kind of determines all of the other financial goals that's out there. And so if you say, hey, Steve, you know, what is probably one of the most important things to you? I mean, other than giving, it's going to be not having any debt. And like I said, is that, and it's sometimes it's not realistic. You know, like a lot of times with Dave Ramsey, I love him to death, but like I said, a lot of people, they're just not going to be able to buy their house with cash or buy a car in cash. So there's going to be times where we're going to have to accumulate some debt. But the key is that we just want to have debt. Our debt, little or no debt, is going to make our life a lot less stressful, and we're going to be able to honor God with our finances. And at the same time, we also have to build our savings. And you know, a lot of times you think that, okay, if I have any extra money, I should be giving it to the poor or to the needy. But God's told us, you know, in the Bible that there's going to be famines and earthquakes and natural disasters, and there's going to be recessions and bad things that are going to happen. And God has told us that, and we just need to be prepared for them. Now, saving doesn't mean that just because I build savings, if I'm not doing it out of selfish reasons or because I don't trust God, I mean, if you know, that's the reasons why you don't want to do it. But if you're saying, hey, you know, God has told me to save so I can be more effective in ministry, and because there's going to be bad things that are happening, I'm just being better prepared. And like I said, retirement is that, you know, it's not a if question, it's just a when question. We're all going to retire one day, and, you know, and I tell people when they save for retirement, you know, like I said, if you're not doing it for a lavish lifestyle or for selfish reasons, it's that, hey, one day, you know, we all work, we all got to pay our bills, but one day we want to retire, and, you know, that's a great time to be able to use all of our experiences, all of the gifts and passions to really serve others. And like I said, retirement, like I said, a lot of times people think of, I'm just going to go to the desert island and just have fun. But honestly, you know, retirement is, you know, that's the time where you can really just take all of your life experiences and just minister and share your gifts and passion with others.
Let's take a few, we'll take a listener call first and ask the question. Juliana wanted to know if you could kind of clarify your advice for the single mom. We asked about earlier, she was getting a tax refund, had $20,000 in debt. Again, just clarify what you would recommend for her.
You know, I would give a portion of it to God, and I don't have I'm not going to give a percentage, because you need to give what's in your heart. I mean, whatever in your heart you feel that you should give back to God, give that percentage. You need to sit there. If you don't have at least $1,000, you know, I say $500, but for the person that has $20,000 in debt, if you know, you need to make sure you have at least $1,000 in savings. So whatever refund is, at least put X amount into savings, and then maybe take 10% of what the refund is and spend it on something that might be fun, and then take the rest of it and pay towards debt. And understand this is that, you know, for the single mom, It's like I work with a lot of single moms in ministries. The Life of a Single Mom out of Baton Rouge is one of the largest ones that are out there, so that'd be a good resource to check out. It's called The Life of a Single Mom. But I do a lot of writing for them, and so I understand the challenges that moms have, especially single moms. And just understand this is that you're not going to be a single mom forever. And what I mean by that is most likely your child is going to grow up and you'll have so much expenditures because like I said, it's very expensive to have kids. And if you're doing it by yourself, it's very, 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 very challenging. And just like me, I didn't get into $32,000 worth of credit card debt overnight. I wasn't able to pay it off overnight. So the key is that I have debt that I want to pay off, and it might take her 5 years, or it might take her 10 years. But the goal is that you want to end up with zero debt, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. You just want to make sure that each day that you're chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And same thing for next year. You get your tax refund check. You give some to God. You put some in savings. You have a little fun with it, and then you put it towards the debt. And if you continue to do that and continue to, make those right choices and figure out how I can spend less, then, you stick with that formula until it's paid off. And like I said, it's hard and it's not easy. I mean, people are struggling. I remember an article a few weeks ago. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of debt that people have. And we just say, well, gosh, as long as I can afford to make the minimum payment, I'm okay. But the truth is that you're not okay. You're financially sick and you have to, you have to get that debt paid off. But the key is to keep struggling forward. And there's going to be days that you slip back, just like I did when I was, when I was paying off my debt. I mean, there are times that I relapsed and I put money on credit cards, but I didn't let that beat me up. I'd sit there and the next month I said, gosh, I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to stick with it. And like I said, the key is that have somebody to encourage you, another single mom, another friend that's out there that's giving you encouragement and telling you to keep you on track and not to give up, because that's what kills everybody. We talk about the New Year's resolution. 80% of the people give up by February 14th. I mean, well, gosh, that's just kind of terrible. If you'll just stick with it and do it, take those manageable baby steps, I mean, you'll tend to stick with it. And that's why I say spend a little bit of money, because if I told you, hey, okay, take all of your money and pay it towards your debt, I mean, financially, that's probably the smart thing to do, like if we were a bunch of robots. But, God gave us emotions and feelings, and hey, like says, is that it's okay to spend a little bit on yourself because you've worked hard for the money.
Sure. All right, let's take a couple more calls. Start with Aaron first in Clear Lake. Has some investment questions. Aaron, you're on with Steve Rapak. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Steve, and I appreciate the program. I kind of got my answer from the last call. But
okay.
Yeah, I was just curious about investing in other things, short-term. What are some good short-term gains? We have a Roth IRA. We have two different investment ones right now. Soon to be having our credit card or car loans paid off here. So after that, we'll be able to put some in savings accounts. And then after that, I'm just wondering what are some good investments to do.
All right. Thanks, Herm.
Yeah, you sound like you're on a great track, and that's the key. It's like I said, it's not what we know, it's what we do. And I always joke around about people. I say, hey, let's say you don't know anything about investing. I say you have $10,000 you invested in company X, and let's say company X drops 50%. Well, you've lost half of your investment. Well, you have another person that has $10,000 and they spend it all, and they end up with zero. So who has more money? The person that invested and lost half their money. So a lot of times, and it's not a joke, and I don't mean to be funny about it, but the key is it's really not, what you're putting into it, is that you're actually doing it, and that you're saying, Steve, I'm spending less money than what I make. I'm giving a portion of it back to God. I'm giving, I have little or no debt. I'm going to, I'm building up my savings. You're doing the right stuff, but I think if there's actually biblical principles when you think about investing, and one of them is don't invest money that you may need soon. So if you're saying, Steve, I'm thinking about investing, well, if you're going to need that money within 5 years, then you shouldn't be investing it. It needs to be in something that's safe, liquid, FDIC. And another, I'm going to give you another tip, because I don't want to give you all five of them, because I actually talk about it in my book. But I'm going to give you tip number two, and it comes from Proverbs 4 verse 7. It says, beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it cost all you have, get understanding. And so I say this: don't invest in something that you don't understand. So if you don't understand it, probably not a good place to put your money in.
Good words. All right, let's take a call from Kathleen in Minneapolis. Kathleen, go ahead. You're on Steve Repack.
Well, hi. Thank you so much. I just happened to be listening to the program. I have a question about my Roth IRA. I've been unemployed for 2 years. I've been using up savings. That's been good because I haven't used all of it. But the financial planner at the bank is saying that I should be reinvesting it to a higher yield, and I'm not even sure how God is going to be taking care of me in the next few weeks, 2 months, et cetera. So should I be reinvesting this money? It's about $100,000.
Gosh. Okay. So can you say that one more time? Because I got you lost me just a little bit on that. Are you using your retirement to supplement your living expenditures?
No, I'm using something else.
All right, so you haven't touched your 100,000 IRA yet, but
no.
Okay, all right.
But I do know that when it's reopened, depending on how my taxes are done for next year, it may be counted as income, et cetera, any interest that's in that account from the original principal, which I don't remember what the original principal was.
Okay.
Well, that's probably the key thing is that we need to know. I think of this as there's two types of money. There's short-term money, which we can't invest. That means it needs to be FDIC insured. It's got to be liquid. And so that's stuff like money market, FDIC insured money market, and savings account. So that's if you need money within the next 5 years, the only money that you should be using for that is the stuff that's in your saving. And then for your longer-term investments, like I said, what I always recommend is that you sit down with a certified financial planner, and a certified financial planner will get your risk tolerance, get your investment objectives, and they can actually put a plan that's suited for you with knowing all the facts. Because it's almost like if you said, hey, Steve, I'm thinking about buying a pair of blue jeans. Can you tell me what pair of blue jeans to buy for me right now? Well, I don't have a lot of facts, so I wouldn't be able to give you probably the best type of information. But I would definitely, if you're looking for, basically financial advice that pertains to you, I always sit down with a certified financial planner that charges by the hour. And you say, why is that, Steve? Well, it's like a CFP, they have fiduciary. And if you're paying by the hour, you're paying for advice. You're not paying for someone to sell you an investment. And I'm not saying nothing about, your financial advisor or where your investments are held, but I just, get a second opinion also. It's like, that's something that you might want to consider.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and get Kyle's question and comment. We've got Karen as well wanting to weigh in on some questions as we talk money today and financial planning. Financial matters mentioned a lot in the Bible, and we're getting good insight today and biblical wisdom from Steve Repack, certified financial planner, as a veteran and a speaker and author of several books, including Dollars and Uncommon Sense, Basic Training for Your Money, and 6-Week Money Challenge for Your Personal Finances. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you have a question, we'll get back to more in just a moment.
You know instantly who I'm talking about. The person in your life who thinks they are absolutely always right and puts you down constantly. It is not much fun having to deal with a narcissist. But Dr. Linda Mental says there is hope. She says it can be done, laying out strategies to help them listen to you and you understand them a bit better. That light at the end of the tunnel is at myfaithradio.com today. When you look for Narcissist
Radio.
Talking with a veteran, certified financial planner, and speaker, Steve Repack, who is challenging us to, get into God's Word when we want to learn more about our money and commit to a biblical boot camp, talking 6-week money challenge for your personal finances. And Steve, we've got Kyle on the line from Hudson, just has gone through some of it himself, understanding of God's principles. Kyle, go ahead. You're on with Steve.
All right. So I wanted to go ahead and want to add to what you're saying to these people that, may be struggling with debt. I got debt free, and I want to share something that is probably the most unappreciated gold mine out there, and that's couponing and price matching. I have saved over $3,000 a year just on coupons alone. And I'm not talking about sitting down and planning for hours. I'm talking about 15 minutes behind the computer on a website that's like coupons.com and printing out just a few coupons. To me, stewardship is everything when it comes to money. And being able to make a lifestyle change that is geared towards saving money. You've got something as simple as gas coupons in this state of Minnesota, and you have coupon websites that are just endless. And I really think that that's an important lifestyle change to be able to save money on all your trips that you go to, and also to have more money then to be put towards your debt and savings.
Yeah. Kyle, congratulations on getting debt-free, and your good word today. Steve, I'll give you a chance to react.
Yeah, those were some great comments. I just talk about, like, what my wife would say, hey, gosh, I saved X amount of money at this one sale. A lot of times is that we have to be careful with savings and coupons if that doesn't cause us to overspend. So, for example, if I have my grocery list and I make my grocery list and then I go through the websites and find some coupons that's on my grocery list, that's awesome. But don't let the coupon sites and things like that cause you to spend, saying, well, gosh, I saved X amount of money, but I saved this much. But you had to spend X amount of money to save that. But like I said, that was some great advice about, there are sites that are out there that can help you become a better steward. So, and I can take that extra money and I can give God his due. I can put some towards savings. I can, I can put some towards retirement. Those are some great points.
Yep. Well, here's Karen. She sent in the question via email and says, regarding money management, my spouse and I are 60 years old. I work full time. He's on disability, workers' comp. Neither has a pension, and our combined IRA savings is under $40,000. I was given advice, she says, to pay off all debt, but not the mortgage, before saving any money for the future. We have about $5,000 in savings. Any thoughts for Karen?
Like I said, everything revolves around your spending. And I'm going to give you a prime example is that if you say, Steve, I had $1 million in my retirement account, but I still owe $500,000 on a house. I have a vacation home that I owe like $300,000. I got two cars that I still owe $50,000 on, and I got credit card debt. That $1 million sounds very impressive, but when you have all that debt, it's really not as much so. And the opposite works the same way, is that you say, well, Steve, I don't have anything, and I don't have enough in retirement, but I have all of my stuff. I'm debt free. Well, it comes down to your spending. I'll give you an example. If you say, Steve, when I retire, my Social Security income is going to be $3,000, but my bills are only $2,000. Well, gosh, you have $1,000 left over, so you're going to be okay for your living expenditures. But for most people, a lot of their big bills are, for retirement, it's really not, most people aren't using their retirement funds to supplement their income. I mean, they use it for medical expenditures, like for when they're 80 years old and they might need to go into assisted living or some type of medical expense. That's kind of where people wipe out. So what I just believe in a goal is that you should have little or no debt. You should have, if you're going to retire, you should have at least 1 to 2 years of your bills in cash, not in a Roth, not in investments. I'm talking about pure cash. And then sit down with a certified financial planner, and they can tell you exactly how much you should have to cover the risk, because that's what it comes down to, is that there's no such thing as risk-free. A lot of times is people want this magic answer, and there's, if you could jump out of your bed and break your neck and die, if it's dangerous just to get out of bed in the morning, then when you're investing your money, there's nothing out there that's safe. So you just got to, you have to understand that. But the key is that how much money am I spending? If I have more income than expenditures, then I'm right. And if you don't have that, it doesn't matter how much money you have saved up or how much debt-free you are, you're just going to, you're going to have money issues.
Well, and Renee's question, probably it's just an opportunity for you to reiterate what you just said. She says, I'm going to be getting a settlement from a death in the family. What should I do with it?
gosh, it's like, you know, it's the same. And like I said, Steve, gosh, you're telling me the same stuff. Well, guess what? There's nothing new. I mean, honestly, I wish there was some new insight, but there's nothing that I'm saying that hasn't been said a million times. Is that if I'm going to get a settlement, it works the same way, is that I give a portion back to God. And does that mean that I give it to the church? I want to clear that up, too, is that there are many charities and donations. For example, Faith Radio, I mean, give part of the money back to Faith Radio. Basically, is when you're giving, you're just acknowledging that the money came from God, belongs to God, and is distributed by God, and that he, not money, is the most important thing. So it's not, and I say that, oh, everybody, you got to give your money to church. I mean, if you look through my taxes, and you say, because I'm doing my taxes right now, and you say, Steve, I want to know what your giving is. Did you give 10% to church? And I want to say no. Oh my gosh, Steve, you know, you're not practicing what you're preaching. Well, I also give money to the Wounded Warriors Project. I give money to some radio stations. I mean, I also give to other places, which makes more than the 10%. So the first thing that you want to do is you always want to give back, because no matter how bad you have it, there is somebody out there that has it even worse. And by giving, the joy that you get from giving is always going to be more fulfilling than the stuff that you buy for yourself. So step number one is, I'm going to give a portion of it. And how much should you give? Pray about it. Pray to God and say, God, you know, move, you know, I want to know, you know, where should I give it to? How much should I give? And like, because God just wants you to be cheerful when you do it. And then after that, if you have any debt, you want to, you know, put some towards debt. If you don't have enough in savings, put some in savings, and then take 5 to 10% of it and spend it on something that you enjoy. It might be going on a trip. It might be going to the movies. I don't know what that is, but kind of try to find that balance. I want to give. I want to save. I want to pay down debt, and I want to have a little bit of fun.
Steve, it's been fun talking with you here. We got a couple of minutes before we wrap up. One thing we could do today, if you know, we just tuned in, missed part of the show, but what would be the one thing to do that would be at least getting us on the right track?
You know, it's going to sound weird, but the first thing that you need to do is spend time with God. I mean, gosh, I mean, and I know that you say, Steve, gosh, I mean, you're talking about finances. How is my finances going to get on track if I'm spending time with God? And that's at the end of the day, is that, you know, the greatest commandments, love, you know, love God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the only way that you can show love is that you either do two things. You either spend money on them or you spend time on them. And if you could spend time reading the Bible and knowing God and knowing the why portion of it, the money issues will sit there and get back on track. And you know, if you make the right decisions, you know, and you do it for the right reasons, you're going to end up with the right results. And I just truly believe that. So that would probably that would be my number one advice to any of your listeners.
All right, Steve. People want to find out more about you, then just go to your website, right? You get a lot of resources there.
Yeah, they can go to my website is www.steverepak, and that's REPAK.com.
Steverepak.com. Check it out. Steve's authored several books, including Dollars and Uncommon Sense, Basic Training for Your Money. We got some basic training today, and also a 6-week money challenge for your personal finances. He's a vet, a speaker, and a certified financial planner, and a friend of Faith Radio. We love having him on. And Steve, thanks for your good advice today and just reminding us of things that we should know. And hopefully those of us that maybe have fallen off our New Year's resolution can pick up and take a step forward today.
Yeah, that's it. It's not what you know, it's what you do that's going to give you the results.
Steve Repak, check it out online, steverepak.com. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
Once Judah Smith began to truly understand prayer, his relationship with God grew so much deeper. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and Judah says prayer is more than just a practice or a custom. It's a conversation with the Creator.
You know, according to King David in the Old Testament, prayer is this place where you yell and you scream and you complain and you challenge and you sing and you write. You know, I mean, David just had this extraordinary prayer life that was very messy and was very raw and was very real. I think maybe censoring and filtering our prayers is maybe a practice that hasn't done us a lot of benefit. And so I'm challenged personally to be more candid, open, honest with God.
Talking to God honestly, holding nothing back, can be very freeing. Do you want to learn more about that? Go to MakingYourLifeCount.com.
As Steve Repacker is reminding us, the first thing to do is to get back in touch with God. And hang on to me, that important verse. Now let's think about that verse in Luke 12, I think it is. It says, He'll give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. SteveRepack.com is the website. And we post the interviews on our show page, the Connecting Faith show page at MyFaithRadio.com. So if you want to hear a portion of it again or pass it on to a friend, we'd love to have you do that. Tell them about Faith Radio. It's MyFaithRadio.com. And don't forget our February ministry spotlight is Erebon. And they're specializing in equipping the church to reflect the diverse kingdom of God by providing worship resources and cultural training that will lead to reconciliation of Christian communities. So find out more about that on our website as well, myfaithradio.com. Tomorrow we're going to talk more.
More about?
Just more.
Yeah, just yeah, no, no, we'll be talking some more.
We're talking. Greg Hawkins will join us. We'll, we'll learn about moving from activity for God to intimacy with God. That's our conversation tomorrow with Greg Hawkins here on Connecting Faith. Hope you'll join us then and check us out online anytime at myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.